Pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that he does for us. And we pray that you would sustain us and strengthen us and give us wisdom now as we turn to your word inspired by your Spirit. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, just before Christmas, something happened which caught the imagination of the nation. On December the 15th, a Soyuz FG rocket blasted off from an airbase in Kazakhstan. Now, why were so many captivated? Well, because it was carrying British astronaut Major Tim Peake to the International Space Station. Major Tim had started what is planned to be a six-month journey away from the Earth, performing experiments mainly aimed at finding out the effects of microgravity on his own body. Well, the launch was accompanied by an emotional video of his son sobbing uncontrollably and shouting, "I want to go with Daddy!" Now, I wonder if you can imagine the discussions in the Peake household when Tim told his wife Rebecca and two young sons that he was going to leave them, that he was going to be, they were going to be without him for 6 months between December and June. Now, I imagine that he would have said something like, "I'm sorry that I've got to go. The time will pass quite quickly. It's important because I've got a job to do. We'll be able to keep in touch." One thing in this parting you can be sure that he didn't say was, "It is to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I leave you." Now, that would be very strange, to say the least. But that is exactly what we read in John's Gospel that Jesus said to his closest friends when he was about to leave them. What we read, and you'll find it on page 1088, John chapter 16, came from the conversation that we're allowed to listen in on the night before Jesus died. Here was Jesus with his closest friends gathered together, his inner circle, whom he had called to be apostles, messengers. Now, they had believed that he was the Christ, God's King, come to bring a new quality of life to the world. But the atmosphere that evening was tense. Jesus had just washed their feet, though it was not very clear to them quite why. And he'd been warning them that things weren't going to be easy. Indeed, he was going from them. And perhaps some of them could even, at the back of their minds, remember some of Jesus' words that he'd said to them in the weeks and months before, that in fact, he was going to die. Well, what is clear is that these apostles were anxious. They had a deep sense of foreboding. And then Jesus speaks to them. John chapter 16, verse 5. "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Now, how on earth can it be better that Jesus goes? It had been Jesus who had shown them the truth of God himself. It had been Jesus who has inspired them. It had been Jesus who had encouraged them. It had been Jesus who had supported them. If Jesus goes, they will lack those things, all those things, surely. How can it be to their advantage that he goes? Well, verse 7 gives us the answer. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, Jesus is, of course, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom he has introduced earlier in the conversation. Just before what we read in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." The Helper, or Comforter, or counselor, as his name is sometimes translated, is to be understood as the Spirit of God himself, proceeding from God the Father and sent by Jesus, God the Eternal Son. He is the third divine person within the family of the one God. And notice how Jesus describes the Helper. Even though the word Spirit is neutral, this Spirit is not an it, but a he. He will bear witness about me. So here's a reminder that we should always refer to the Holy Spirit personally, just as we would Jesus or God the Father. Now, earlier in the evening, as we read it in chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus had said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Here is not then just some random helper, but another helper. Jesus had been their helper. Now another will come as a helper, distinct from Jesus, but very much like Jesus. And here lies one of the key truths about the Holy Spirit that we need to get our heads around. And that is that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes to do exactly what Jesus would do if he were still here on earth in his body. Let me say that again. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes to do exactly what Jesus would do if he were still here on earth in his body. And that is why it is to our advantage that Jesus goes, because he can then send another helper. Now, if you think about it, if Jesus had stayed on the earth, he could only have been in one place at one time. Most people then would never in a lifetime have him with them to help. If Jesus was in Sydney, he couldn't be in Scotland. If he was in New Delhi, he couldn't be in North Ferriby. And even if he did travel to where you or I lived, there would be thousands and thousands wanting his attention. But because Jesus has sent his helper to be with all who believe in him, living in us, wonderfully, Jesus' very presence can be with all believers in all places at all times. So, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, can be with those people in Bangladesh that our Joanna has recently been living with. And at the same time, he could be with Tim Peake, if he was to call on Jesus, whilst orbiting the earth. Jesus, by his Spirit, can be helping Nicholas Haydock, our parish assistant, when he goes out to his overseas field placement with Wycliffe Bible Translators in the new year. And at the same time, he can be with us here in North Ferriby, whenever we need his support and his help. Well, in that reading from John 16, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, is said by Jesus to have a special helping role with two groups of people in particular. There's firstly the people of the world, that is, those who do not yet believe in Jesus, and those who do believe in him. So in the time that's left, let's consider these two groups of people. The first, that the Helper works in the people of this world to work persuasion. Now, Jesus had said to his apostles in the upper room, verse 8, "And when he," that is the Helper, "comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Now, in John's Gospel, when we come across the phrase "the world," John is not writing about the globe, the earth, the planet. He's talking about the people of this world who have turned away from God and deserve his judgment, but whom God loves and has sent his Son for. So Jesus says the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world. In those who do not yet believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit works to convict, to convince, to persuade. Now, I don't know whether you've ever seen any of those television courtroom dramas where a skillful lawyer makes their case for the prosecution. There'll be probing. There'll be lots of questions asked. Misunderstandings will be revealed. Inconsistencies will be made clear. Well, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, works in a way something rather like that. He takes the message of Jesus, the word of the gospel, and he works in hearts and minds to persuade people of the truth. And he does this, says Jesus, about three things in particular: sin, righteousness, and judgment. So verse 9, he will convict the world, the Helper, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals to people that they've turned away from God and that they need Jesus, whom so far they haven't believed in. He works to lovingly help people to see their need, no longer be the world, but instead come to believe in Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as we remember this morning as we share bread and wine. Verse 10, the Helper will convict the world concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. The Holy Spirit reveals the empty claims that people so often have about their own lives being righteous. I wonder if you've ever heard anyone say something like this: you know, I've never done anything wrong. I've seriously heard people say that. People seem to believe that it's true about themselves, and yet that kind of comment really reveals that they are people of the world who do not see their need. Well, in the absence of Jesus, who has now returned to God the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, often through the witness of Jesus' people, helps others to see that their own goodness is not good enough. That they are in fact not righteous but unrighteous, and that they need Jesus. And then verse 11, the Helper will convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The way that the world thinks is so often upside down, calling good evil and evil good. The way the world thinks is so often confused, showing a blindness to the reality of Jesus. The Holy Spirit shows people that they are wrong about Jesus, because Jesus has now defeated the one who is, Jesus calls him, the ruler of this world, the devil, God's enemy. That enemy has now been judged. So this convicting, persuading work of the Holy Spirit is actually our only hope. None of us would ever believe in Jesus if the Holy Spirit did not help us to realize our need, to be persuaded that Jesus is true, and have our hearts changed to put our confidence in him. And you know, knowing this wonderful truth is a great encouragement in our task of sharing Jesus' good news with others. It's not just our efforts that are involved. Living lives that point to Jesus, answering questions, inviting people to maybe read a book or come to a meeting, all these things are important. But of course, we cannot be successful on our own. We cannot reach into people's hearts and minds to change them. But the Holy Spirit can. He can soften hard hearts, unstop deaf ears, and open blind spiritual eyes. How important then that we pray for God by his Spirit to do these things as the message of the gospel is shared. Well, that brings us to the second group that the Holy Spirit has a role within. We've seen that the Helper works in the people of this world in persuasion, but also the Helper works in the people of Jesus to lead us into truth. Now, what Jesus says next has at times been rather badly misunderstood. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, some have seen these words as suggesting that any Christian might expect new teaching to be revealed to them. And most mischievously of all, that we might receive more revelation that even contradicts what Jesus has taught. Now, an obvious example of that mistake is in the teachings of groups like the Mormons, who have an extra book that is even seen as more important than the Bible. And therefore, that new truth takes precedence over what the Bible says. But tragically, that kind of attitude can sometimes be seen when you listen to some Christians debating issues in places like the Church of England General Synod. Some who wish to revise the Christian faith will sometimes claim that their ideas, often just a reflection of the world's ideas, are from the Holy Spirit, when in fact they are against the teachings of Jesus. Well, to rightly understand these words, then, we need to see to whom they were originally spoken. And that is, of course, Jesus' apostles on that night before he died. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, apostles, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into or in all the truth. So what Jesus is promising here is that given that he couldn't teach his apostles all the implications of his truth then and there, because frankly they couldn't cope with it, the Holy Spirit, whom they were to go on to receive when he came in that new way to all believers after the day of Pentecost, he would lead them, the unique messenger apostles, into all his truth. Now, interestingly, Jesus has just spoken of himself in chapter 14 as the way and the truth. Well, now the Holy Spirit, another helper from Jesus, will lead them into all the implications of Jesus being the truth. The Holy Spirit will, if you like, fill out for the apostles what Jesus being truth means. And the apostles will then be able to record that teaching from Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in what we now have in our New Testaments. Now, that this teaching is from Jesus and has his authority is made clear in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit only revealed to the apostles what was consistent with Jesus and his truth. And that is completely right, and indeed it's what we would expect, given the perfect relationship within the oneness of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And also that the Holy Spirit's work, as Jesus says here, is to glorify Jesus. The helper's work is to make Jesus the center of attention, to point to Jesus, to bring honor and praise to Jesus. So here is great reassurance that what we have in the Gospels are the words of Jesus. And what we have in the rest of the New Testament has Jesus' authority too. I have a Bible at home which has the words of Jesus in the Gospels printed in red, and then the rest of the text in black. Now, it is quite interesting to see which words come directly from the mouth of Jesus. But it would be unhelpful to think that the words in black are any less words Jesus would endorse or teach. Verse 15. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he, the helper, will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that is exactly what you might expect from the one that Jesus also calls the Spirit of Truth. And the great reality too is that the Holy Spirit has inspired the apostles to accurately remember Jesus' teaching and to fill out what it means with the authority of Jesus. And it also helps us as we read the Bible to understand Jesus' truth. He helps us to live out his message of love and to make it known to others. So in this way, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, leads, guides us as believers today in all the truth of Jesus. Well, normally one thing you don't say to a loved one that we're about to be parted from is, it is to your advantage that I go away. But that is exactly what Jesus said to his friends. And it was better because he was going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus' teaching here shows that the Holy Spirit comes to point to Jesus and to do exactly what Jesus would do if he were still here on earth in his body. And that includes the Helper's work of persuasion in the people of this world, convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And his work in the apostles, and then through them to us, of leading in all the life-giving truth of Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending to us the Helper, your Spirit. And we pray that you'd give us grace, that our hearts will be opened to his life and work and ministry. We thank you for this great encouragement that he works to draw people to Jesus and that he leads us into your truth as we see it in your word. Give us grace that we might be those who ourselves point to Jesus in the strength of your Spirit, that others might believe in him too. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.